Then there's another myth, another episode, number two. This is called calling the earth goddess to witness. The Buddha was sitting beneath the Bodhi tree. And according to Buddhist myth, the spot on which he was sitting was the center of the universe. He was sitting on the diamond throne, the Vajrasana, which was the center of the whole universe. This is, of course, again another myth or an aspect of a myth. The Buddha, in order to gain enlightenment, takes his seat, takes up his position on a central point. This is a sort of concrete presentation of the middle way. You must be perfectly centered and balanced before you can hope to gain enlightenment. So Mara, the evil one, his attempt by no means finished, challenges the Buddha's right to occupy that seat. This was the seat, this was the point on which all the previous Buddhas had sat before gaining enlightenment. So the Buddha, the future Buddha, had naturally taken up his seat there because he was about to gain enlightenment. So Mara says, what is your right to occupy that seat? How do you know that you are worthy to sit upon that seat which was occupied by previous Buddhas? How do you know that you are going to gain enlightenment and that you're not just deluding yourself, fooling yourself? So the Buddha said, or the future Buddha said, I know that I'm worthy to sit on this seat because for hundreds of previous lives I have observed the perfections, the transcendental virtues. I practice generosity and ethics and patience and vigor and meditation and the higher wisdom. I practiced all of these life after life for hundreds of lives. Therefore I'm ready, I've prepared myself. I'm worthy to sit on this seat. So Mara said, sneering, well, that's your story. We don't know anything about these previous lives, these previous births, and all these this practice of the paramitas. We never saw them. Who's your witness? The Mara, it sometimes said, was the first lawyer. So he asks, who's your witness? So in reply, the Buddha taps on the earth. And he puts his fingers on the earth. This is the position in which you see so many images of the Buddha. The earth witness or earth touching position. And he said, I call the earth to witness. Because all these lives were lived on the earth. On this earth he practiced the paramitas. So he called the earth itself to bear witness that he had practiced in this way and prepared himself. So in response to the tap, in response to the summons, up comes the earth goddess. This is also depicted in Buddhist art, a woman of mature age, but still beautiful in appearance. She comes up bearing a vase in her hand, a vase of riches, because the earth is the source of all riches, and she also represents the unconscious in another form. And she bears witness, she says, yes, I have seen it all. I've seen all these hundreds of lives. He has practiced all these perfections. Therefore, he is worthy to sit on this seat. And as I said, this scene is often depicted in Buddhist art. You see the earth goddess half emerged out of the earth. She's in the earth from the waist downwards and out from the waist upwards. And she's depicted like this, very much like, I would say, the appearance of Mother Erda in Wagner's The Ring. Erda, of course, means earth, and it's the same name in another form as the Hertha of Swinburne's famous poem. Now, the significance of the earth goddess is a subject in itself, rather the whole literature about her. But she represents, essentially, basically, the same forces as were represented in the previous episode, the previous myth, by Mara's daughters. She represents the same forces, but she represents them as now tamed and subdued, ready to help instead of to hinder. So this is the second incident, the second myth.